Daniel Egan. In this video, we're going to take the time to do another Mean on Azure project. We were lucky enough to be able to sit down with David Washington, and he's going to show us how to build a chess game using Node. Let's check it out now.
Hi, I'm David Washington, and I love chess. I love playing it on my phone with my friends and my family. I like playing it with my son. And the thing that bugs me the most about chess games on my phone is they're so slow. So what I did is I made my own instant real-time chess game. And I'm going to show you how to sit down and build it yourself. We're going to use a few technologies. First of all, we're going to use Node.js. Node is both the server for our static HTML and JavaScript, and it's the back end that's actually going to allow us to build a full multiplayer chess game. We're also using a Node framework called Socket.io, which is amazing for real-time, instant messages between clients and servers. And what you'll see in the next couple minutes is we're going to be able to quickly build a chess game using Node, Socket, and some free open source chess libraries in just a matter of minutes. Let's get started. Okay, we're going to get in and build our chess game. And the good news is, if you want to follow along at home, all of the code that we're going to be using today here is on aka.ms/realtimewebhol. Okay? So you can just go ahead. You can see all the documentation and prereqs here. And even all the code that we're going to be building is available here as well. So let's go ahead and look at exercise one. Create your app and run it locally. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is open up our Node command line here. I'm going to make a new folder here called My Chess and navigate right in there. And we're going to use a command called npm init. And this lets us initialize our project folder. Keep the same default name, same description. We're going to give it an initial entry point of app.js, and that's actually our server. And then we can keep the other defaults. Okay. And then we can open up this folder in something called Visual Studio Code. I use Visual Studio Code because it's a really nice, lightweight text editor like Sublime or Notepad++, and it's got a really nice Node debugger and some other extensions you can install too. And you can see this package.json file that we just created show up. I'm going to make a new file here, app.js, which is our Node server. And if we go back to the hands-on lab instructions, you can see that the basic code for our Node server is right here for us to copy. So I'm going to paste it in, and I'll give you a brief overview of what we're looking at. We're using the Express framework, which is actually a really handy way to host static websites. In our case, we're going to have a public folder that we want to serve up. And then this code here actually just publishes that static folder anytime somebody tries to access our website. So let's go ahead and make that static folder called public. Perfect. And then we just create a file inside of public called default.html. And then we can put anything we want in that file. Perfect. Okay? And then you may have noticed that in our app.js, we used a framework called the Express framework. If we want to use a Node framework, we need to make sure we install it and declare a dependency. So we're going to use our npm install express-save. And what this does is, the first thing it does is it updates our package.json file to add that dependency to Express. And the next thing that it does is it actually downloads all those dependencies so we can use them locally. Okay? And then we're going to just go to our simple Node.js debugging tab here, hit play, and it lets us choose Node as a debugging environment. Hit play again. And then we've got our server started up. So let's go ahead and try to get to that page. Localhost 3000. Localhost 3000, and you can see it says hello world, which is the file that we served up from our Node server. Got it? So now we have a basic static web server created. let's actually go ahead and put our chess game in it. And the cool thing about open source and the web is there's so much innovation happening all over the place, from servers like Node.js all the way to things as detailed as chess. And so what we're going to be using is a framework called an online library called Chess.js and Chessboard.js. And you can go ahead and grab these directly from those sites, or you can see in the hands-on lab resources, there's a folder that says lab resources. So I'm going to download the zip for this lab resources so we can actually get access to those. Open that up. I'm going to put all of the lab resources on my desktop. Okay. And then here I've got the lab resources with all of the chess libraries that I need, chess.min.js and chessboard.js, along with jQuery, which is the dependency for chess.js, and all the images for the chess pieces, and just go ahead and drop those in my public folder. So I'm going to open that up, lab resources, take these files, put them in public. Great. Okay, so now I've got all the dependencies I need, but now I need to actually build my chess game. And if I look at my hands-on lab content, you can see that the basic text for the chess game, we can just copy and paste right out of the lab. And we'll go right through this. It's a basic HTML page. We're loading in the default styles page that we need to create, along with the chess styles and the game board itself, the chess library, the chessboard library, jQuery, and of course, default.js, which will have our script. Okay? Then we need to go ahead and create some styles. Or actually, how about we start by creating our script? And then if we go back to the hands-on lab, we can just copy in the script. And we can go through what we're doing here. The script for creating a chess game here is actually pretty straightforward. We have a board and a game. The board is the UI elements, and the game is essentially the game state, which describes where the pieces are and if it's a valid move. So when the window loads, we initialize the game, and the game initialization is as simple as creating some configuration options, like the callback handler when you call the move, when a user tries to move, and then of course initializing the board UI and initializing the game state object. So it's pretty straightforward. The next thing we're going to do here is create the style sheet. Okay, so and just like the code, we can go right to our lab here and copy the styles out of the hands-on lab. And this is pretty simple. We center the chessboard on the page, and then we give it a width. We have to make sure we give that chessboard a width, otherwise it won't know how to lay itself out. Okay, so we've got a simple node server serving up static HTML content, and we also have some HTML content, which is our game that we're using, the chessboard library and the chess.js library. So let's go ahead and run this and see if we've got a basic chess game working. Okay, I'm just going to refresh localhost here, and look, there's our chessboard. I can go ahead and grab this piece and move it, and move this piece. And if I try to make an illegal move, it actually snaps back because of that really awesome chessboard.js library. Awesome. So now we have the chess game working in the browser. Sweet. But now we need to actually make it multiplayer. So we're going to add Socket.io to the Node.js backend, and we're going to actually hook that up to our chess game. Okay, if we want to make this multiplayer, what we need to do is actually add some more code and add Socket.io, which is our server framework for handling real-time messages. So let's go ahead and do that. If I go back to my code here, what I'm going to do is actually add this dependency for Socket.io. And I can do this just by adding another require here at the top. Var IO equals require socket IO. Cool. And then we need to add that dependency just like we did with Express. npm install dash dash socket IO dash dash save. Oops, did I type it wrong? Oh, spell check. And again, that's actually adding that dependency to my package.json along with downloading all the dependencies that I need. So now I actually have access to socket.io, but let's actually make use of it. So I've got some code here in the hands-on lab that actually makes use of it. So besides actually adding that dependency, from the client side, what we need to do is add that dependency. So if we look at our client-side JavaScript, our client-side HTML file, we're going to actually add this client-side dependency for socket.io. So even though we added the server-side dependencies with npm install, the client-side JavaScript needs to have access so it knows how to send messages to the server. Okay? So we added that in. And then we also need to initialize that socket.io client from our JavaScript here. So what we're going to do is make use of this. So we have our socket.io client here in our default.js. And then we're going to do something really simple here. Anytime that anyone clicks on the window, we're going to send a message to the server. So here we have socket.emit message. And it's going to just send hello world. So now that we're actually sending something to the server, let's go ahead and actually respond to that from the server. So here we go. I already required that, so I don't need to copy that. So I'm going to go to app.js. And then what's cool here is io.onConnection. This gets called anytime a client in a browser connects to this server. So you could actually respond with some login information or actually just keep track of all your users who are online. In this case, we're going to actually register for another event for all the people who log in. We're going to listen for this message event that we're calling when you click on the window. And then we're just going to log that out to the console. So what I'm going to do something a little special here. I'm going to set a breakpoint that gets called anytime that this event gets called. So here I go. I run this server. I have this connection happen. Can run it. Oh, looks like I've got some kind of issue here. Let's make sure I'm requiring the same function. Oh, I need to actually, one thing I forgot to do here is when I require socket.io, I need to tell it what the client is hosted on. So in this case, I have this HTTP, which is our Express server. So I need to make sure that I declare that socket.io is using that HTTP server. So let's go ahead and do that, and that'll fix our issue. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to go back and actually refresh this page. And when I click in the background, oh, you can see our breakpoint is set. And when I actually play that breakpoint, you can see it actually got the message from the server. And we can actually click on this all day, and you can see that those messages make it from the client to the server. Pretty cool, right? Okay. So a simple message isn't enough. We need to actually go a little bit further here and actually send some chess moves, right? From the client to the server, and then actually send it to anyone else who might be our opponent, right? So to do this, we're going to go back to the lab content and actually grab some code here. So what we're going to do here is if we look at our JavaScript, anytime someone moves, we want to make sure, let me copy this code. Anytime someone moves, I'm going to replace this code here. Anytime someone moves, if it's an invalid move, then we snap it back and we don't let them move. But if it's valid, we're going to call socket.emitMove. And that will actually send our chess move to the server. And I don't need this window click anymore, so I'm going to delete that. Okay? And then we need to go ahead and handle that from the server as well. So here, if I go to app.js, instead of listening for this message, what I'm going to do is actually listen for this move event, right? And we can even test this out right here again, okay? We'll go ahead and run this in our debugger. Refresh the client. And anytime I make a move, the breakpoint is hit. And you can see all of the move information is actually is just right in this JSON blob that gets sent from the client. So what we have in our code here is we call socket.broadcastEmit, and that sends this move to all of the clients listening to it. So basically, we can actually have all those clients that are listening move the move that this other client sent. But we need to actually listen for that other event. So let's do that in the client-side script as well. So I'm going to grab one last blob of code here. And this snippet is actually listening for the socket move event from the server. Got it? And anytime that it gets that event, what it's going to do is just move that piece on the local game in that game state and actually represent that position in the board layout. So let's see if we've got multiplayer chess working in the browser with Socket.io and Node.js. Okay, got one tab open. Let's open up another tab and look at these side by side. Snap one there. You can see I move one piece here and it shows in one tab. Move another piece here and it shows in the other tab. And we can keep going all day. We have multiplayer chess in action. Awesome. Now we've got a real-time chess game working on our local PC. Perfect. We can play across multiple tabs, and we know that it's instant and fast. But that's not enough, right? We want to actually play with our friends and our family all around the world, right? So what we're going to do is take this code, and we're going to actually publish it to Azure. So let's go ahead and do that. What I'm going to do here really quick here is open up GitHub. I've got the GitHub for Windows client here, but you can also do this from the command line if you prefer. And what we can do is actually create a new repo for the code that we just created. So let's go ahead and do this. Let's add a repo. And I want to create one. I don't want to add one. I'm going to create one for this folder with the code in it. What do we call it? My chess? Code. My chess. Okay, and then we can just call this my chess. And then we're going to define a git nor for node. Go ahead and create that repository. Okay, now that all of my source code is showing up here in my Git repository, I can go ahead and commit that in. Okay, commit that to my master. And then sync that to the server. So what this is doing is taking all this local code that I created and publishing it to my GitHub repository. And once it's on GitHub, I can easily deploy it to Azure. Let me go to GitHub here. Let's find that my chess repository I just created. You can see I've got all my code created here, right? So now what we want to do is actually publish this to Azure. So I'm going to go to Portal. I'm going to open this up in a new in private window so I can log in. I'm going to go to portal.azure.com. And I'll go ahead and log in. And then once I'm logged in, I can easily go ahead and create a new website. So I clicked on the new button here, web and mobile, web app. I'm going to create a new site here called My Chess. Let's see if that's available. MyChess01. Okay. And I can create that website. And it just takes a second for this to deploy. All right, now that my website's created, I need to actually deploy some code to it. And what's really nice about Azure here is I can set up continuous deployment here. And it has all kinds of continuous deployment sources. I can deploy from a OneDrive or Dropbox folder, or in this case, we're going to deploy from GitHub. At this point, you can log in with your GitHub credentials. I've already logged in with mine. And then you can go ahead and choose the repository that you want to deploy from. In this case, I'm going to deploy My Chess. And then I can click OK. And then in just a second here, you can see it to start to deploy my code from that GitHub repository. And you'll see it even shows some of my GitHub comments, so I know which repository it's deploying. So let's give this a second. You can see it's fetching from GitHub dwcares mychess.git. So let's go ahead, and while that's setting up, there's one more thing I need to enable here. I'm going to go into my application settings, and since this is using Socket.io, it actually requires us to use something called WebSockets. That's the technology that enables that real-time behavior. So I'm going to go ahead and save that setting change. And then in just a second here, our website should be deployed. Let's go back to continuous deployment and see if this is deployed here. There you go. Initial commit. It's active. Let's go ahead and try this out. MyChess01.AzureWebsites.net. The first time, it always takes a little bit longer to boot up because it actually has to boot up that server. Oh, there it is, right here on the website, mychess01.azurewebsites.net. And on my phone, I can go to that same website and you'll see that move. mychess01.azurewebsites.net. So on my phone, I'm going to move a piece here. And you'll see it move on the other one here. See? So there's our chess game running in the browser, and we can open up another tab or on any other web browser in the world, we can navigate to this URL and play a game of real-time multiplayer chess. Okay, awesome. We built our own chess game. Sweet. Let's recap. We built a simple node server that hosted our local chess game. We hooked up Socket.io in the back end to enable multiplayer, and then we published it to Azure so everyone around the world can play it. Perfect. And the thing is, we saw with the power of WebSockets and Socket.io, those moves that you make are instant. It's super fast. But we're not done, right? We have a basic chess game. Let's add to it. What else could we do? We can add a menu, or we can make it a mobile game. We can add other clients on iOS and Android and Windows. And of course, we need to make it scale by allowing it to span across multiple servers. We've got all kinds of things we could do going forward, but at least you know how to build a chess game from scratch.